there's no organization before the day of the event. And so for those first few hours, it's just total chaos.
Every summer, from June until October, Laguna Beach surfers wait to hold a legendary event, the Brook Street Surfing Classic. With kids milling around and commentators in costume, it looks equal part carnival, equal part surf contest. It's Laguna's premier surfing event, the longest running contest in the world. And it almost never happened. I'm Rachel O'Neill Cusey, and this is From Radical Origins. Visit Laguna Beach's series about our town and the stories that make it a California icon. Episode 1, Reef Madness, the story of the world's longest running surf contest. Act 1, Barbarians at the Reef. Laguna is not a world-renowned surf destination. Its reef breaks are temperamental and loved by local surfers for their novelty, but not for their consistency. Today, surf culture thrives in Laguna Beach. But that wasn't the case 70 years ago. In the 50s, surfers weren't athletes with aspirational lifestyles. They were rowdy vagabonds, boozers, and regarded as a blight to Laguna's pristine beaches.
Surfers used to come down in their jalopies and drink jug wine and have, you know, campfires on the beach and girls and pass out in their cars and then surf.
That's Brandy Faber. He's the director of the Brook Street Classic and its historian. Pay attention to his voice because you'll be hearing a lot more of it in this episode. He spent decades researching the origins of the contest. What he discovered were disgruntled citizens tired of having their tranquil beaches disturbed. The city even passed a surfing ban in 1953, and some people weren't stopping there.
The homeowners back in the day didn't like that too much, so they actually tried to get surfing banned in Laguna and try to extend their property rights all the way out to the mean high tide line, meaning surfers couldn't go down on the beach.
Things looked bleak until a local visionary rallied the surfing community around a plan.
You know, there's a guy named Hobie Alter, and his parents lived on the beach at Oak Street. And Hobie, who was building this new surf industry with, you know, shaping surfboards and starting to grow his business out of his family's garage, went downtown and talked to Red Geyer, who was the recreation department supervisor, and said, "We want to paint surfers in a good, positive light. Let's come up with a surf contest." So it was sort of a collaboration between private sector, Hobie Alter, and Red Geyer from the city came together and put the contest together in 1955.
Let me get this straight. A bunch of hungover dudes were going to get this organized? Even back then, that was far-fetched. But that summer, Brook Street delivered. The waves were huge, and despite all expectations, the first winner of the Brook Street contest was an underdog named Larry Brixey.
And we all thought he was nuts. We said, "Why do you want to have it? If you have a contest, it's because you want to find out who's the best or who's going to win." Well, there was no question about who was the best. It was Hobie.
Larry wasn't just a dark horse. He shouldn't have been there at all.
Well, there's a lot of misunderstanding about that contest. And as far as I know, this is the first time anyone has ever told what really happened because I'm the only one that knows it. Everybody else has died or were not aware of what was going on. And what it was that I was sick. I was getting out of a sick bed and I was actually running a temperature of about 103. So I should never have been there. But as they built it up, I figured I've got to be there. I mean, I'm there every day. I've got to get in it. So I talked my folks into letting me go down. They were very much against it. So one of the waves that I got, my body was going all over the place, and I was just this close to falling a number of times. I just almost fell, and somehow, miraculously, I regained enough to stay on the board. And I think that they gave me some points for that and thought I was doing some hot stuff. So that's my explanation on how I win, because I certainly was not the best surfer out there. And everybody knew it, but they didn't know the part about me being sick.
The first contest was a showstopper, and as a result, the event stuck around. surfing was here to stay. Act 2, From Foothold to Institution. For a while, the Brook Street Contest happened every year, regardless of whether there was a swell or not. While this established the contest as a community event, it wasn't always a great show. Once the waves were so bad, they even held it at Thalia. To learn how the contest evolved, we caught up with one of Laguna's local surfing legends, Ron Sizemore.
My name is Ron Sizemore. I've been in Laguna. My parents bought down here where we're sitting right now in 1950. Went through Laguna Beach High School, graduated in 1963.
Ron is a multiple-year Brook Street Contest winner and a surfing champion.
The Brook Street Contest brings everybody together. The first contest I entered at Brook Street was 1960, and I got aced out. And they said, hey, we'll move it up to Thalia Street. And Thalia Street was breaking with a west swell. There was a kelp bed outside, and it would flatten down the westerly winds and everything, so you wouldn't get the chop inside. And they held it at Thalia Street. Beautiful machine waves going right. Mickey Munoz, who worked for Hobie, and he's still around, really good surfer and everything else. We'd gone through all the heats, and the judges were all, I want to say, Hobie people. They weren't local people like what they're using now and everything else, older guys. So anyway, we come in, and they said, well, they had a mano a mano. They hadn't picked out everybody from the five people in the heat, but they'd picked out the first two people, and it was Mickey Munoz and myself. So we go back out in the water, and we surf our brains loose, and again, machine waves, and you couldn't go wrong on them. Come back in, Heves McClellan, who was a local guy here in Laguna, was involved in the contest too. He comes back in and he says to Mickey and I, well, we still haven't made a decision. What we're going to do is we're going to flip a coin. He was holding the coin too. And whoever gets it will win the contest. So I said, I don't want to call it, Mickey. So he flips the coin, it comes up like that, and he goes like that, and he goes, oh, it's tails. Well, that was just a flip to see who calls for the flip. That's what Hev said. And I'm going, oh, it's my turn. Okay. So he flips it again. The coin goes up in the air, boom, like that. And I said heads or something. It can't go, you know, it's got to be heads this time. But it didn't. It came up tails. So Mickey wins the contest. And I got second place.
To encourage athletes to perform, scoring prioritizes charging bigger waves. Eking out mid-level scores on smaller waves won't get you far. That means there's always a great show, but it also means the show doesn't always happen. I'll throw it back to Brandy Faber to explain.
I would argue anyone that the Brook Street is the longest running contest still in existence. We used to have the claim that it was the longest continuous running event. There's been some things that have derailed it. Number one, just lack of swell. There's been a few years where we were unable to run the contest because there was not waves, similar to the Eddie Iacow, even though we're not, you know, on that type of surf. But similar scenario, COVID derailed it. The only other, I think, contest, they have more years, would be like Bell's Beach, but technically they didn't start in 1955 like the Brook Street did. So could argue it either way.
While we respect Bell's Beach's claim, we're comfortable keeping them in second place. When the conditions are right, Brook Street is a sight to behold. Both Alyssa Cairns and Jeff Booth surfed in the upper echelons of the ASP Pro Tour. It's called the World Surf League now, but they grew up surfing Brook Street and are still awed by its unpredictability.
Brook Street has a lot of rocks and reef and very tide dependent. Like you're paddling into it and then all of a sudden it can just drop out or shift. It's just weird. It's a weird wave.
There's no other wave like it in Laguna that does that. Doesn't move straight in. It moves from the south and it compresses and wedges and gains power and speed, and then it comes up on this reef shelf. It all of a sudden, it doesn't look very big, and all of a sudden it stands up. It stretches and grows. So like when you're paddling into the wave, it's lifting you up and you're trying to get yourself over the ledge, and then the drop's square.
Like if you're into just having some fun, like challenging takeoff, that's Brook Street. But getting that perfect ride that, you know, is gonna go all the way through past the stairs at ochre, whatever, you know, those days aren't like every day.
Okay, guys, we get it. It's a hard wave. But how heavy could it really be?
And then on the higher tide, you start to get backwash, and then you're getting closer to the rocks, like different rocks, you know, if your leash breaks and your board just getting smashed up in there or whatever.
Instead of the wave kind of descending down, like going down a hill on a bike, it's actually a backboard coming up at you. So if you eat it on a drop, it's like you splat and it hurts. Like, it's not a soft landing. So Brooks is, I think it's a challenging wave. It's not a perfect wave. There's backwash. It undulates. It hits different spots on the reef. So you really got to know what you're doing. And
yeah, I don't think I'll be entering anytime soon. As the surf industry grew, the Brook Street's new format helped it become a proving ground for pro surfers like Jeff and Alyssa.
I know the mystique of the Brook Street contest. I mean, it was, as a young kid, it was always something you aspired to be in, to participate, to perform well, to push your limits, especially as a young kid. Like, you'd have the lineup all to yourself, and that was your opportunity to catch waves that, you know, normally the big guys, you know, the top of the pecking order, they're the ones catching all those waves. So
by the time, you know, I came along in the 70s, we had one age division for, you know, all women, any age. And I was about 12 years old. And then there were some older girls in it as well. It's just like such a community thing.
My first Brook Street event was 1980. So we were this little pack of kids, and we grabbed our boards, grabbed our stuff, and we walked from Hockomo all the way over to Brook Street to go to surf the contest.
There was only a few of us in it, but I ended up winning it. So I was pretty much hooked on going to Brook Street. And that was pretty quick, like after, like, you know, almost my first time.
We all posted up, we went out and surfed our heat together, and I ended up being a little bit more ambitious, catching bigger waves and, you know, taking off a little bit deeper on the ledge, and I won. So that was like my first contest, first taste of victory, surfing the Brook Street in front of your town. So I got kind of hooked.
Even after both competed around the world, neither missed a chance to surf their home contest. One year, they even faced off against each other. The results were controversial.
So back in the day, they would take the first places out of each of the divisions, and then we'd have a super heat. I remember it was like Jeff Booth and Brian Buckley and myself, Tex Haynes. Can't remember who else was in the heat, but I did well in it.
Yeah, no, I remember the super heat with Alyssa. You know, now it's a pro division, so it's an open division, and then, you know, winners get money. Back then it was a super heat, so it was the winners of maybe six or eight divisions, and they put us all out in the water at once. And it all got kind of contentious where everyone was like hassling each other. And then we all started dropping in on each other. So I think we're all getting interferences, right? And if we dropped in on someone, our wave didn't get scored.
And then Jeff got an interference, so I ended up winning the super heat. So that was kind of my fond memory of you know, taking down the super heat that year.
I don't know how they did it back then, but Alyssa was the only one that didn't drop in on anyone. So she played it safe, and then she ended up winning. It was great. Her mom was at the awards banquet, like, boasting about it, and it was pretty funny, yeah.
Consider this my official petition to bring back the super heat. For budding pros, the contest is often their first chance to win more than a trophy. There's real prizes and money that are on the line. Elevating those stakes was why Brandy Faber became the contest director.
When I was younger, I remember winning the Brook Street, and I got this prize bag, and it was filled with really cool, not only just surf industry prizes, but like local business prizes. And I thought that was really cool. And at one point, you know, I was traveling and hadn't been able to do the contest for a few years and came back, and I made the finals. And I remember just getting like a plastic AYSO doorstopper type of trophy. And I was so bummed. I'm like, what is this? Like, this is not special. Laguna's way more special.
Way more special. No offense, AYSO. Brandy turned a bummer into an opportunity to get the community reinvested in the contest.
All the sponsors, all the brands and things that we get involved in the community have to have some sort of root or core here in Laguna and support the surf industry. I also believe pretty strongly, which is what I've been trying to do for many, many years, is whoever does the contest t-shirt art that year, they got to be a local artist, number one, and hopefully they're a surfer that has been in the contest, number two. And we always get an artist to create the trophies that are really unique, special, and individual for that year.
Today, the community's support means the contest isn't just the oldest in the world, but an occurrence that binds the town together. Act 3. No sleep till Brook Street. While surfers may not be sleeping in jalopies, putting the contest together remains just as chaotic. Jeff, Brandy, and other contest volunteers from Laguna Surf and Sport spend the whole morning scrambling to get the event up and running.
By about 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10, the event finally starts getting up and running. But before then, it's a complete disaster. And it's funny to watch. I get a kick out of it.
As Brandy can also tell you, it's a completely improvised affair.
No one signed up. We have no heats until Saturday when the call is made. And then we are literally building heats on the fly. Build a heat, get guys in the water, keep heats going. Then I'm trying to surf in the contest, so I'm going in the water. And so for those first few hours, it's just total chaos. But we're just shooting from the hip, and it always seems to work.
Word to the wise. Stay away while they're shooting from the hip. You might end up being collateral damage. Not all the glory is reserved for pros and older generations. Young guns are still here to take it for themselves. Jeff has been able to see both of his kids not just compete, but win the contest. Jeff's daughter, Tess Booth, has a vivid memory of winning the women's division.
So my name's Tess Booth. I was born and raised in Laguna Beach. So I won the girls division and the women's division in 2017. And this was like a really big win for me because there's these sets, we call them outer boilers, where they break outside of the ledge. And I remember being in my heat and seeing second and third reef go. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, it's gonna be an outer boiler. That was like my heat winning wave. I rode it all the way to the beach. And I just knew that, like, when you catch a bomb in a heat and you finish it, like, you're pretty much bound to win. It was probably, like, one of my best waves at Brook Street ever. So to have that, like, in a heat and win that way was very memorable.
Jeff has also had the incredible privilege of competing against his own son, Travis, another local pro who has made a name for himself at Brook Street.
I've surfed a couple pro heats with Travis, and one of them was the semifinals. That was the year he won the whole thing when he was 17. And I was having a shocker. I fell on a couple good waves, and I was like, told Travis, I'm like, dude, I'm out of this heat right now. It's like, you need to figure out how to make this heat. So I was kind of coaching him during the heat, telling him what waves to go, and he ended up making the final, and then he ended up winning.
Winning the pro, it definitely kind of gave me like a lot more respect, like from the other surfers, be able to like kind of be like kind of in line and being able to catch, like, you know, like the really good waves and all that. So yeah, definitely boosted me up, like, in the pecking order for sure.
Does the winner get bragging rights in the booth house? This handing of the torch is really what the event is all about. It's a time and place for the entire community to come together. For Brandy, it's also an opportunity for the surf community to share stories and bridge gaps between generations.
It kind of keeps, you know, the fabric of the community, surf community, together. When you get all your sort of surf tribal leaders together and, you know, you're sharing stories from one generation down to the other generation, you know, and it's important to us to share that with the younger kids that are growing up here so they understand the history of the event and the sport here in Laguna.
Whether the Brooks will happen next year, no one knows, but eventually it will again, creating new memories, new stories, and new generations of surfers that make and remake Laguna an icon of California surfing. And the rest of us will be on the rocks cheering them on too. Reef Madness is a story from Radical Origins, produced by Visit Laguna Beach in conjunction with Laguna Sound. This episode featured Jeff Booth, Tess Booth, Travis Booth, Larry Brixey, Alyssa Cairns, Brandy Faber, and Ron Sizemore. It was narrated and created by me, Rachel O'Neill Cusey. Written and produced by Skylar Vanderveen, John Zegowitz, and Linda Pribble. Special thanks to the Visit Laguna Beach team and board of directors, as well as our friends at Schieffer Chop Shop.